The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Job, chapter 1. This is our first lesson for today, this third Sunday of Advent. Dear friends in Christ, not everyone is able to see the whole picture. Not everyone is able to see how all sorts of moving parts fit together for the greater good. Bosses, CEOs, they are able to see the big picture. The rest of us workers, we're simply asked to do a job, and we do that job faithfully, trusting in the process, trusting that someone else knows the big picture. Coaches, especially football coaches, like to talk about trust in the process. They know how a defensive scheme is supposed to work or an offensive play is going to go. The players are asked just to do their job faithfully, to trust the process, and then everything would work out just fine. You might also hear people talking about trust in the process when it comes to our judicial system or when it comes to elections. Just trust the process, because the process has been working for so long and so well, we just trust that the process will turn out just fine. Whether you're a big picture person or not, there are many circumstances and instances where we simply have to trust the process because we aren't able to see how everything works out. It's especially true when it comes to our lives. We trust God's process. For only He is able to see everything, and we know that He is in complete control. Just took a look at Job's life. Job had it all. Before our text, we learned that Job had 7 boys and 3 girls. We also know that he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. He had a large number of servants, and he was the greatest man among all who lived of the East. On top of it all, God had blessed Job with a strong faith. We are told that he was righteous and upright. He didn't go after the wicked ways of the world. There was no one like Job on the face of the earth. But then on one day, he lost it all. Well, we are told that on 4 separate occasions on that one day, he lost everything. Yes, the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, enemies, came and took his flocks. Fire from heaven came down and burned up his sheep. And a mighty wind knocked down the house where all his children are at and killed them all. Job had 4 servants left who had escaped to tell him his health and his wife. Now if we would read on in Job, we find out that in chapter 2, God allowed Satan to afflict Job's health as well. We usually think of boils that Job suffered through. We're not exactly sure how many things that affected Job's health. We do know some of his symptoms. He had painful and festering sores all over his body. Nightmares. He had skin that peeled and became black. He was disfigured. Nightmares. He was repulsive to people. He was excessively thin. And perhaps worst of all, a bad case of bad breath. His wife, the one that Satan kept alive, began to hate Job. And she even told Job to curse God and die. He had some friends who came to comfort him, but they offered him no real comfort. Instead, they accused him of committing some secret, horrible sin that was causing God to punish Job in this way. Because of all these things, Job's reputation was shot, and he lost all respect. How's your life going? Maybe you didn't have the extreme highs or the extreme lows as Job. But think back at your life. I'm sure you've had a lot of good in your life. It's not hard for you to think of all the many ways God has blessed you. You have a roof over your head, plenty of food to eat, clothes to wear. He's blessed you with friends and family, a car. All the good times you have shared with other people, all the memories you've made with others, you look back and you can say there have been many highs. But as you look back, how many lows? Perhaps you're going through a low right now. No matter how great your life is, there's always some disappointments in this life. This life didn't turn out exactly as you had hoped for, exactly as you had planned. When you were younger, you had big dreams, big hopes for the future. But that didn't always pan out. Life often gets in the way. You had hoped for a better job, a better paying job. Maybe you want more money in your bank account, more opportunities to do good things or to make memories or to visit different places. Maybe expected to have more friends. Maybe expected your family to turn out a little bit different. Maybe you wanted less health problems. You suffer through many different things. You suffer through the death of loved ones, and soon you will suffer through your own death. Maybe your life turned out close to what you wanted. Maybe it's completely different than what you'd hoped for. But we all have many lows in this life. Many things that don't go how we want them to go. So how do you react? How do you react? What do you do when bad things happen in your life? If you're like most people, or if you're like everyone else, you're going to complain. You complain about how horrible you have it. You whine that you have it rough in life, about how horrible this is or about how horrible that is, that you haven't gotten a fair share. Maybe you complain to yourself. You'll complain to maybe anyone that will listen. Whine about this or that. And then we'll turn to God and complain to God, maybe in our prayers, maybe just to Him in general. And then we often take that next step. Not only complaining to God, but complaining about God. We have that thought that pops up in our mind, put in there by the devil, that either God doesn't love us or that God is lying to us. Now, God says He loves us. And we know that God knows all things and He can do all things. So if He knows all things and can do all things, and if He truly loves us, then why does He allow bad things to happen in this life? So the devil tries to lead us to come to two conclusions. Either God hates us, doesn't love us, or He's not telling us the truth. Now if anyone, it seems, had a right to complain, it would have been Job. Now, Job doesn't complain in our text. Now, we see later on in the book, after his health was inflicted, that he did complain to God, that he was being punished unjustly. Yet it's interesting to read the story and to see how Job reacts to all the bad things that are happening in his life, because we know the background. We know the behind-the-scenes look. We get a peek behind the curtains and see why all this took place. What do we see? God being in complete control. He is the one who brought up Job as a righteous and upright man to Satan. God knew that Job, no matter what would happen, would not fall away from the one true faith. Now, Satan was allowed to inflict Job with all different kinds of things, but he can only do as much as God allowed him. God was in complete control. Now, it may seem as if God's not being fair to Job here. It may seem as if God is only allowing these things to happen to Job simply so that he can prove a point to Satan. But God is giving Job opportunities. He's giving Job an opportunity to serve him, to obey him, to honor God. He is testing Job's faith so that Job's faith may become stronger. He's also teaching Job and us a lesson. That lesson is simple. God is in control. And so we trust in God in all things. It may not always seem as if God is in control. With all the bad things that happen in life, with all the troubles and hardships and difficulties we face, or we take a look at the world and all the chaos and hatred and violence, it may not seem as if anyone is controlling the world. It may seem as if God has left the world to fend for itself. But as we see from that behind-the-scenes picture, nothing can be further from the truth. God is the one who watches over things. God is the one who rules the world. From his throne up in heaven, he rules over his entire creation. That's essentially God's message to Job later on in this book. Job didn't create the world. Job doesn't sustain the world. Job has no authority over the things of this world. Only God does. Only God created the world. Only God sustains the world. Only God knows how to control the world. And since Job isn't God and God is God, then Job had no right to complain to God or to doubt what God is doing. Since God is God and we are not, we trust that God knows what he's doing and will do what is best for us. Think of God's plan of salvation. From the moment Adam and Eve fell into sin, God came down and promised that one of their descendants, a male offspring of theirs, would defeat their enemy Satan. Ever since then, God's believers have waited. For thousands of years they waited. And God continued to make that promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David, and so on. They waited for thousands of years. It may have seemed as if God wasn't going to fulfill that promise. But then, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born under law, to redeem those under law. May not have seen if God was going to fulfill that promise, but God waited to the exact right time to send his son into the world. And that was God's plan. From before the creation of the world, his plan was to send his son, a descendant of Abraham, but his own son, God and man at the same time, so that he could be under the law and yet keep that law perfectly for us. God and man to serve as our perfect substitute. It may not seem as if God was in control when Jesus died. His secret betrayal, his arrest, his illegal trial, being beaten and abused and mocked, flogged, crucified, put to death, even though he had done nothing wrong. Satan even thought that he had won when Jesus died. And yet, what do we know? It was God's plan all along. Jesus talked about it throughout his ministry. It was prophesied by the prophets long ago how Jesus would suffer and die. It was God's will for Jesus to do so. It was God's plan to send his son into the world to suffer and die in our place, to take our sins upon the cross. Jesus willingly went to the cross so that he could suffer and die in our place, so that he could give us his righteous life. He willingly died on the cross because he knew that 3 days later, just as he prophesied, he would rise from the dead and give us that ultimate victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. As it turns out, God was in control the whole time, even when he was put to death. God is always in control. He's our omniscient, omnipotent God. He rules over everything in his entire creation. And this omniscient, omnipotent God loves us and promises to take care of us at all times. It may not always seem as if He's in control. It may not always seem as if He loves us and is taking care of us. It may seem as if He's forgotten us. But the fact remains that God is in control. That everything will turn out for our benefit, for our eternal good. It may come as may not come as a surprise to you, but you're not God. You don't know all things. You don't know the entire picture. Only God is God. Only God is able to see all things. Only He sees the entire picture and how everything moves together for our eternal well-being. So we trust God's process. Think of Job again. At the end of our text, at the end of this book, Job understood that lesson, that God is God and He is not, and so we trust God in all things. Now, he lost that in the middle. But at the end of our text, after Job lost all his possessions, all 10 of his children were killed, what did Job do? No whining, no complaining. Instead, he praised and worshipped God. He said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Job realized that everything he had, a gift of God. They really belonged to God, and God gave them to him, so God can do whatever he wanted with those gifts. If God wanted to take them away, that's fine. Job trusted God's process, he trusted God's plan, and he knew that God would do for him whatever was best. We also know that at the end of the book, God gives Job 7 sons, 3 daughters. He also gives him twice as many possessions as he had before. God's plan will always work out for our good. And so we will do well to follow Job's example. We praise God and we give thanks to Him no matter what happens in our life. When we suffer, when bad things happen, we know that somehow they'll turn out for our eternal well-being. So no matter what happens in this life, we can praise and thank God for everything and everything. We trust God's process, His plan. He is God. He sees all things. He knows all things. All things will work out for our good. We are not. We are left to trust His process. And why wouldn't we? He knows all, sees all, promises to bless us. And His plan of eternal salvation took care of everything we needed to do to be saved. So no matter what happens, we trust God. And so we can say along with Job, in all situations in our life, may the name of the Lord be praised. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.